The Kawhi Leonard to the Raptors rumors and reports have been out there to an extent. Came out of a paper, I think, in Washington.
Washington Post had it that out of Summer League, you know, the buzz around Summer League was the Raptors are hot on the Kawhi trail.
Right. So here's a guy who's a great follow on Twitter, at Schultz_report, working with Yahoo Sports, NBA Insider, joining us here in the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Jordan Schultz. How you doing, Jordan?
Hey, guys. Great. I actually did not see that, and I am... And hopefully by the time I get off this conversation with you guys, I'll have information on that.
Yes, we would love that. And if you could share it with us, or at least online, we can retweet it.
I will. I just don't know. I did not see that. I've been locked in today so much that I did not see that. But I'm glad you brought it up.
Well, in terms of trying to put a package together, I mean, this is Dave and I have been discussing this throughout the day. You know, the leverage that the Spurs have, but the uncertainty that comes with Kawhi, the injuries that he's coming off of, why he wants out of San Antonio, the fact that he can opt out after a year. I mean, how complicated could this trade end up being if, in fact, Kawhi Leonard does get dealt out of San Antonio?
Well, as a whole, I think when you look at Kawhi, the Spurs have to figure out whether or not trading him now is going to extract max value, and to a degree, do they lose leverage if they wait? And that's been my biggest question mark, because if you get to February 19th, for example, which is the ultimate latest at the deadline, then I think you have no leverage. And so for me, you know, the Spurs want picks, they want assets, they want players. I mean, I reported last week they had asked Philadelphia for 3 first-round picks and 2 players. Presumably Sarge and Covington, because Simmons or Embiid were not on the table. And that's just an idea of how much they want. So it's going to be a very complicated trade, knowing that in this league, when you trade a superstar, it's almost impossible to extract max value back.
So when you think about it that way, I mean, when you look at the Raptors roster and the idea that, you know, Masai Ujiri in some ways is in a bit of a moment of urgency, because he's just watched LeBron James leave the East, the guy that's eliminated them from the playoffs 3 straight years and swept them 2 straight. And he's probably on the last legs of this DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry era in Toronto, given, you know, Kyle Lowry's past 30 and declining a little bit. And you know, you have to believe DeMar DeRozan's probably at his max as a player at age 28. What would you see in the Raptors' arsenal that R.C. Buford and Greg Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs might be interested in, if indeed they would be willing to look at a Kawhi Leonard trade with the Raptors?
Well, obviously it comes down to, you know, DeMar is legitimate, you know, top 15, top 20 player. I know he struggled in the playoffs and got benched, but he's a fantastic player in his prime. He would obviously be the number one target. I think with Lowry, there's really, I would imagine, little interest to zero interest for San Antonio, given that they have DeJounte Murray, who's a big guard that they love and are trying to develop. I really, you know, without having inside information yet on this, I would be very surprised if Toronto was able to get Kawhi Leonard from the Spurs. And really taking it a step further, you know, knowing that he could very likely leave for a one-year rental when you're not going to contend, I just don't think that's the right move. I think the Raptors are in an interesting position because they've been really good, but they haven't been able to quite get over the hump, obviously. And the question is, do they have one more year or do they blow it up now?
Well, and that's why I think it makes sense to go all in on Kawhi, because of that.
Right.
I mean, in reality, I think you're probably in a position a year or two from now where you've got to reload anyway. And, I mean, Serge Ibaka's been an absolute disaster. Kyle's, you know, kind of over the hill. He can still bring a lot, but he's not what he was. And his playoff history speaks for itself. And the same thing with DeMar. So I'd be willing to take that gamble, Jordan, even if Kawhi is going to opt out.
Right.
You know?
Right. And that's, I mean, to draw a similarity to Paul George of Oklahoma City, that's what the Thunder did, because when they acquired Paul George from Indiana, they didn't even talk to Paul George. They didn't talk to his agent, Aaron Mintz. They bet on the fact they'd get him in their door, and every day they could recruit him. And that would be, you know, probably what Toronto would have to do with Kawhi, obviously, just because, you know, when you get a guy that's going to, especially a big name like that, a marquee blue chip player, you're going to have to bet on your culture and the fact that, maybe you're not contending now, but if you treat a guy right and you recruit him every day, there's an opportunity for him to come back. And that's what Paul George did, which I think surprised a lot of people, including myself.
With Jordan Schultz, Yahoo Sports NBA Insider here on Overdrive.
Yeah, that's an interesting prospect, Jordan. I mean, so what do you think the most likely scenario is with Kawhi? I mean, there's so many unknowns, but if you had to bet today about where he'll be playing when the season opens in the fall, what do you think?
I don't know. I think it's so hard because, you know, the Spurs are being very stubborn, and I reported this, and it's probably not a surprise. There's no rush for them, and with that in mind, the Sixers don't want to give up Fultz. The Celtics don't want to give up Brown. And the Lakers are pretty lukewarm on giving up either Kuzma or Ingram. So I don't think Josh Hart does it with a couple of picks. And I don't even know if Kuzma would do it. So I can't tell you where I would be able to guess where he'd go. I just believe, and I've said this for a while, that he will be traded. For a while, I did think it'd be the Lakers. But, you know, considering the fact that they've now made several acquisitions, some of which were quite strange, especially the Lance Stephenson deal. I don't see that happening right now with Kawhi in L.A.
News broke late last week or over the weekend that Carmelo Anthony and Oklahoma City are going to part ways here, and now the courtship's officially on. Melo's, I mean, he's not a young guy anymore. His game is what it is. He's probably more of a bench option. He's a guy who can hit threes, and he hit a lot of them last year, or put a lot of them up anyway. But is he a guy that's worth, you know, spending a lot of money on or worth trying to? Like, if you're Houston, does Carmelo Anthony really put you over the top against Golden State?
I don't think he puts you over the top. But he if he's willing to embrace his role, then he could really help you. And I said it this morning on First Things First. If Carmelo is willing to adapt and play a lesser role, then Houston could be a really good fit. I mean, last year he made a career high, 169 threes. He also took a career high. He also shot only 40% from the floor, and he had a negative 14 rating that essentially made him unplayable in the playoffs. However, a lot of that to me, fellas, was because he never really accepted his role, and he still thought he was an A player when really at this point he's nowhere close. So, you know, I reported yesterday that, you know, Chris Paul is advocating for Carmelo in Houston. I hope that Carmelo would be very excited potentially about joining the Lakers. He has a house there. I think, you know, teaming up with LeBron could be a really good thing for him. But, you know, the Rockets make sense just because they lose Ariza. They need shooting. And Carmelo, if he can be Team USA Carmelo, catch and shoot guy that doesn't put the ball on the floor, plays 3-4 minute spurts, then I think he could really help the Rockets. I just don't know if he's willing to do that.
That's an intriguing one. What do you make of the way the Lakers are making these, as you called them, somewhat puzzling signings? And do you think that they're going to be able to attract the kind of player that they're hoping to attract to play alongside LeBron for this year and not have to wait until the summer of 2019?
The Lakers, to me, are just one weird move after another. I mean, the only one I actually was okay with, well, there were two. I thought the Rondo move was good because they got him at 9, and he can push Lonzo, and he was great in the playoffs, and defensively he's really good. And I thought McGee was a low-risk move. He was terrific in the finals. But KCP, a $12 million cap hit, a guy that's really not a career good shooter. Last year he's 38%, but for his career, law of averages says he'll be in the mid-30s. And, you know, Lance Stephenson with the mid-level. He wasn't going to get anywhere near the mid-level. They gave him the full mid-level exception, which is 4.5, and, you know, now they get a guy that is 29% three-point shooter. And for me, the Lakers, you know, it would really behoove them to get shooters for LeBron. And if you look at that roster, you know, they have some guys that can make shots, obviously Kuzma, Ingram, but they don't have enough knockdown guys, and that's been an issue in Cleveland, obviously, last year. And it's really something to me that surprised me. So I think the Lakers are really betting on the fact that they're going to get LeBron this year in their building. They're going to figure out exactly what they need, identify it, and then next summer they're really betting on the fact that LeBron is going to be the ultimate recruiter and that players, marquee players, are going to want to come join him in L.A.
He is Jordan Schultz of Yahoo Sports. You can follow him on Twitter, @Schultz_report. Really appreciate you doing this today. We'll do it again down the road.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Again, Jordan Schultz of Yahoo Sports.